How's Helen Burns?
Very poorly, was the answer.
Is it her Mr. Bates has been to see?
Yes.
And what does he say about her?
He says she'll not be here long. This phrase, uttered in my hearing yesterday, would have only conveyed the notion that she was about to be removed to Northumberland, to her own home. I should not have suspected that it meant she was dying, but I knew instantly now. It opened clear on my comprehension that Helen Burns was numbering her last days in this world, and that she was going to be taken to the region of spirits, if such region there were. I experienced a shock of horror, then a strong thrill of grief, then a desire, a necessity to see her, and I asked in what room she lay. "She's in Miss Temple's room," said the nurse.
"May I go up and speak to her?"
"Oh, no, child, it's not likely. And now it's time for you to come in. You'll catch the fever if you stop out when the dew is falling." The nurse closed the front door. I went in by the side entrance, which led to the schoolroom. I was just in time. It was 9 o'clock, and Miss Miller was calling the pupils to go to bed. It might be 2 hours later, probably near 11, when I, not having been able to fall asleep and deeming from the perfect silence of the dormitory that my companions were all wrapped in profound repose, rose softly, put on my frock over my nightdress, and without shoes, crept from the apartment and set off in quest of Miss Temple's room. It was quiet at the other end of the house, but I knew my way, and the light of the unclouded summer moon, entering here and there at passage windows, enabled me to find it without difficulty. An odour of camphor and burnt vinegar warned me when I came near the fever room, and I passed its door quickly, fearful lest the nurse who sat up all night should hear me. I dreaded being discovered and sent back, for I must see Helen. I must embrace her before she died. I must give her one last kiss, exchange with her one last word.